See you this morning. I appreciate the opportunities to get up here and speak that the elders have provided to the men of the congregation. It really helps us in our not only our lives in study of Christ's word, but in our lives as public speakers and as servants of God to have these opportunities to do things such as this. So I'd like to extend my appreciation to them for letting me speak this morning. The Bible teaches us that there are many important things that we have each and every day that we have to incorporate into our lives. The things that we need to do every single day to make sure that we're living as we should live, as we're taught in the Bible. Make sure that we are praying as we should pray. Make sure that our faith goes unshaken. Make sure that our lives are worthy of, but that we stand right in the sight of God for remission of our sins. One of the most important things that the Bible teaches us, and the reason I think it's one of the most important things that the Bible teaches us, is that without forgiveness, we don't have any hope of being forgiven of our sins. Without forgiveness, we don't have any hope of the types of things that we're taught, compassion, love, and we don't have the faith that we need to have in the Word of God. I'd like to start off this morning, Matthew chapter 18, with the parable of the unforgiving servant. If you would please, in Matthew chapter 18, verse 21, we'll start there. It says, "Then Peter came to him and said, 'Lord, how often shall my brother sin against me and I forgive him? Up to seven times?' And Jesus said to him, 'I do not say to you up to seven times, but up to 70 times seven. Therefore, the kingdom of heaven is like a certain king who wanted to settle accounts with his servants. And when he had begun to settle accounts, one was brought to him who owed him 10,000 talents. But as he was not able to pay, his master commanded that he be sold with his wife and children and all that he had, and that payment be made. The servant therefore fell down before him, saying, "Master, have patience with me, and I will pay you." Then the master of that servant was moved with compassion, released him, forgave him the debt. But that servant went out and found one of his fellow servants who owed him 100 denarii. And he laid hands on him and took him by the throat, saying, "Pay me what you owe." So his fellow servant fell down at his feet and begged him, saying, "Have patience with me, and I will pay you all." And he would not. But he went and threw him into prison till he should pay the debt. So when his fellow servants saw what had been done, they were very grieved and came and told their master all that had been done. Then his master, after he had called him, said to him, "You wicked servant, I forgave you all the debt because you begged me. Should you not also have had compassion on your fellow servant, just as I had pity on you?" And his master was angry and delivered him to the torturers until he should pay all that was due him. So my heavenly Father also will do to you if each of you from his heart does not forgive his brother his trespasses. This is one of the most powerful examples, I think, of the importance of forgiveness in our everyday lives, the importance of having that compassion, of forgiving our brothers, making sure that we are not holding a grudge in our hearts each and every day so that we can have that forgiveness from God. The next example I'd like to look at is going to be in the book of Matthew. We're going to go back to chapter 6. Matthew chapter 6, we'll look at the model prayer. Jesus was teaching them how to pray in Matthew chapter 6. He offers the model prayer. And if you'll notice in verse 5, he says, "And when you pray, you shall not be like the hypocrites, for they love to pray standing in the synagogues and on the corners of the streets, and that they may be seen by men. Assuredly, I say to you, they have their reward. But you, when you pray, go to your room, and when you shut your door, pray with your Father who is in secret place, and your Father who sees in secret will reward you openly. And when you pray, do not use vain repetitions as the heathen do, for they think they will be heard for their many words. Therefore, do not be like them, for your Father knows the things you have need before you ask of him. In this manner, therefore, pray. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. And notice here, before he asks, when he asks for forgiveness of his sins, he says, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And do not lead us into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. For yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. He then goes on in verse 14 to further emphasize the importance of forgiveness in order to make our prayers meaningful and to have our prayers answered. Verse 14, he says, "For if you forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses." The next example I'd like to look at is going to be in the book of Mark. If you would please turn to me with Mark chapter 11. This example is given in the lesson of the withered fig tree. Mark chapter 11. It'd help if I turn to Mark. I'm still in Matthew. Mark chapter 11, we'll start in verse 12. Mark chapter 11, verse 12 through 14, and then we'll skip down to verse 20. Let's see here. Is that a typo? Let's see here. Mark. Oh, I'm in the wrong chapter. Still. All right, Mark chapter 11, verse 12. Now the next day, when they had come out from Bethany, he was hungry. And seeing afar a fig tree having leaves, he went to see if perhaps he would find something on it. When he came to it, he found nothing but leaves, for it was not the season for figs. In response, Jesus said to it, "Let no one eat fruit from you ever again." And his disciples heard it. Now down in verse 20, it continues, the next day, it says, "Now in the morning, as they passed by, they saw the fig tree dried up from the roots. And Peter, remembering, said, 'Rabbi, look, the fig tree which you cursed has withered away.' So Jesus answered and said to him, 'Have faith in God. For assuredly, I say to you, whoever says to this mountain, be removed and be cast into the sea, and does not doubt in his heart, but believes that those things he says will be done, he will have whatever he says. Therefore, I say to you, whatever things you ask when you pray, believe you will receive them, and you will have them." In verse 25, he says, "And whenever you stand praying, if you have anything against anyone, forgive him, that your Father in heaven may also forgive you in your trespasses. But if you do not forgive, neither will your Father in heaven forgive your trespasses." A final example I'd like to talk about this morning in this general summary is the parable of the Good Samaritan. In Luke chapter 10, the parable of the Good Samaritan doesn't necessarily have to do with forgiveness of a brother, but it does display to us the type of compassion that we must have for our fellow man, the type of compassion that's necessary to forgive and and live the lives that we ought to live. If you will with me in verse 25, "And behold, a certain lawyer stood up and tested him, saying, 'Teacher, what shall I do to inherit eternal life?' He said to him, 'What is written in the law? What is your reading of it?' So he answered and said, 'You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your strength, and with all your mind, and love your neighbor as yourself.' And he said to him, 'You have answered rightly. Do this, and you will live.' But he, wanting to justify himself, said to Jesus, 'And who is my neighbor?' Then Jesus answered and said, 'A certain man went down to Jerusalem to Jericho and fell among thieves, who stripped him of his clothes, wounded him, and departed, leaving him half dead. Now by chance, a certain priest came down that road, and when he saw him, he passed by on the other side. Likewise, a Levite, when he arrived at the place, came and looked and passed by on the other side. But a certain Samaritan, as he journeyed, came where he was, and when he saw him, he had compassion. So he went to him and bandaged his wounds, pouring oil and wine. and he set him on his own animal, brought him to an inn, and took care of him. On the next day when he departed, he took out 2 denarii, gave them to the innkeeper, and said to him, take care of him, and whatever more you spend when I come again, I will repay you. So which of these 3 do you think was a neighbor to him who fell among the thieves? And he said, he who showed mercy on him. Then Jesus said, go and do likewise. These 4 examples of compassion and forgiveness for our fellow man, faith and prayer, I think show the absolute utter importance for us to have forgiveness in our everyday lives, for us to have forgiveness in our hearts, for us to not hold grudges against others and to forgive others of wrongs. We're going to take a look at how we're taught to forgive from these examples. In Matthew chapter 18, in the parable of the unforgiving servant, he says, then Peter came to him and said, Lord, how often shall I forgive my brother? How often shall my brother sin against me and I forgive him? Up to 7 times? And Jesus said to him, I do not say to you up to 7 times, but up to 70 times 7. This shows that our forgiveness must be a generous forgiveness. We must not be picky with who we forgive. We must not be picky with how much we forgive. We must be generous and forgive those grudges. Down in Luke chapter 17, he says, take heed to yourselves. If your brother sins against you, rebuke him. And if he repents, forgive him. And if he sins against you 7 times in a day, and 7 times in a day returns to you saying, I repent, you shall forgive him. This further shows that there's no limit to the amount of forgiveness we are to give someone seeking forgiveness for us. Next, we're going to talk about the compassion and empathy that we were shown in the parable of the unforgiving servant. Matthew chapter 18, he says, then the master of that servant was moved with compassion, released him, and forgave him the debt. Should you not also have compassion on your fellow servant, just as I had pity on you? Sorry, that skipped from verse 27 to verse 33 there. But we are shown in this parable from Jesus that we are to have the same compassion on those who seek our forgiveness as the compassion given to us from whom we seek forgiveness. So we ask God for forgiveness and ask Him to have that compassion on us, and we must be willing to have that compassion and give that forgiveness to our fellow servants. In the parable of the Good Samaritan, he said, so which of these 3 do you think was a neighbor to him who fell among the thieves? And he said, he who showed mercy on him. And Jesus said, go and do likewise. There we are given a command to show mercy, to have compassion from Jesus Christ. In 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse 8, let's turn to 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse 8. We have there a list of things that we are told to do. It says here, starting in verse 8, when we're called to blessing, it says, finally, all of you be of one mind, having compassion for one another. Love as brother, be tenderhearted, be courteous. Verse 9 says, not returning evil for evil or reviling for reviling, but on the contrary, blessing, knowing that you were called to this, that you may inherit a blessing. So there in 1 Peter chapter 3, we're shown that not only do we have to have forgiveness, but that forgiveness must be compassionate. We must love. It must be tenderhearted and courteous. And in Hebrews chapter 5, they're speaking about the qualifications of the high priesthood. And he says there in Hebrews chapter 5 and verse 2, he can have compassion on those who are ignorant and going astray, since he himself is also subject to weakness. This is something that's very important for us to remember when it comes to our attitudes, when it comes to holding a grudge against someone, to being angry with someone for something. It's to remember that even the highest among us is also subject to weakness. Therefore, we must show mercy and have compassion on those who are ignorant and going astray, those who are seeking forgiveness. We must offer that to them. The next important component on how we are to forgive is completely. We're taught that from the Bible, from these previous examples, that we are to forgive in the same way that we wish God to forgive us. If we seek forgiveness from God, God forgives us. We are to forgive our fellow man. If we look in Micah, the 7th chapter of Micah, in verse 19, speaking of God's forgiveness, it says, "He will again have compassion on us and will subdue our iniquities. You will cast all our sins into the depths of the sea." You often hear people say that, well, the Bible says to forgive, but it doesn't say I have to forgive and forget. I don't think forgiveness truly exists. Obviously, you're not going to forget something. You can't force yourself to forget something. The harder you try to forget something is usually what helps keep it stuck in your mind for even longer. But if we're told to ask forgiveness, to seek forgiveness from God, and that God is going to cast our sins into the depths of the sea, somewhere that they will never be seen again, they will never be brought up again, they will never be dredged up, held against us, then we are to offer that same forgiveness to our fellow man. It's going to be hard. We don't have God's power to know what's in our fellow man's heart. We don't have the power to know whether or not our brother, our sister is coming to us, asking for forgiveness, seeking repentance, whether or not they truly mean it. We don't know whether or not they're actually sorry. We have to have that compassion. And as it mentioned in the parable of the unforgiving servant, just keep forgiving them. We have to have that forgiveness in our hearts, because if they are true in their hearts and we don't forgive them, our sins won't be forgiven. If they aren't true in their hearts and we don't forgive them, our sins won't be forgiven. But no matter what, if we do forgive our brother, then our sins will be forgiven. If you look with me in the book of Psalms, Psalm 103, it's speaking of God's power and God's mercy. Verse 12 of Psalm 103 says, "As far as the east is from the west, so far has he removed our transgressions from us." Just a further example of how completely we have to forgive in order for those things to not be brought up again and again. As was mentioned this morning in Bible class, forgiveness must come with a sense of reaffirming love as well. If you look in the book of 2 Corinthians chapter 2, in 2 Corinthians chapter 2, you have the the person who was cast out from the church for sin. He comes seeking forgiveness. And they're told there in chapter 2 and verse 7, "You ought rather to forgive and comfort him, lest perhaps such a one be swallowed up with too much sorrow. Therefore, I urge you to reaffirm your love to him." If someone is seeking our forgiveness, it's not enough to just say, "Okay, you're forgiven," and walk away. Never talk to the person again. Not make them really feel forgiven. To keep excluding them. To keep, although you may feel like you're not holding anything against that person any longer, if you do not reaffirm your love to that person, it's going to be much harder for you to forgive. If you do not reaffirm your love for that person, it's going to be much harder for them to feel forgiven, truly, and for them to want to continue to seek forgiveness and to seek the righteous path. A reaffirming love is something that we seek daily as Christians from our Lord and Savior. It's something that we search and we find in the Scriptures and we see in our everyday lives and we see in those around us, is the love of God. We sing about it, we exalt it. And we are reaffirmed in that every day. And that makes it easier for us to seek that forgiveness that we ask for every day. I know every day I've sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. But I also know that that forgiveness will come to me because God's love is reaffirmed to me daily. And as long as I have forgiveness in my heart, I know that it can happen. And tying into that, it has to be truly from your heart in which you forgive. In Matthew chapter 18, the parable of the unforgiving servant, once again, The master was angry, delivered him to the torturers until he should pay all that was due him. Verse 35, so my heavenly Father also will do to you if each of you from his heart does not forgive his brother his trespasses. The only way that we can properly forgive is to follow these examples that were given in the Bible, to forgive generously and compassionately, without limit, completely, reaffirming our love and from our hearts. Because the opposite of forgiveness is a grudge, and we are not to be begrudging. We are to be forgiving in our everyday lives. And we've already touched on this, but I want to reiterate why it is that we are called to forgive our brothers, why it is we're called to forgive those who sin against us and seek repentance. And it's because, first of all, we're commanded to. In the book of Colossians, chapter 3, verses 12 and 13, it says, therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, put on tender mercies, kindness, humility, meekness, long-suffering, bearing with one another, and forgiving one another. If anyone has a complaint against another, even as Christ forgave you, so you must also do. We must forgive in order to be forgiven. In Luke chapter 6, verse 37, it says, judge not, and you shall not be judged. Condemn, and you shall not be condemned. Forgive, and you will be forgiven. Matthew chapter 6, verses 14 through 15, it says, for if you forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses. And in Mark chapter 11, verses 25 through 26, at the end of the model prayer there, he says, and whenever you... that's not the model prayer. He says, whenever you stand there praying, if you have anything against anyone, forgive him, that your Father in heaven may also forgive your trespasses. But if you do not forgive, neither will your Father in heaven forgive your trespasses. These are just reiterations of the things we've already talked about the importance of forgiveness, the importance not only to our fellow man, the importance that they be edified, that they be lifted up, that they feel forgiven so that they can be among us and they can work among us, and that those grudges do not rip and tear us apart. But also, it's so that our hearts and our souls aren't ripped and torn apart, so that we're not separated from God by sin, and so that our sins will be forgiven when we ask for that forgiveness. Because forgiveness is not something that's optional. It's not something that's petty. It's not something that can really be taken lightly. You know, a lot of people will discuss things, I don't have to forgive this person because, you know, they didn't ask for my forgiveness. Or I don't have to forgive this person because of this. Big things that, you know, a person murders your family and says they're sorry. It's hard to give that person forgiveness. It's hard to truly in your heart say, I forgive you. But that's not a situation we're confronted with very often. Situations we're more often confronted with is your boss is making you work more hours on Saturday and you're mad about it all week. You need to have that forgiveness in your heart. He's not going to say he's sorry for asking you to work an extra 8 hours on Saturday. But if you have that grudge in your heart, if you are not living, if you're holding something like that against someone, that's not necessarily a wrong to you, but something that you see as a wrong to you, you have to find it in your heart to forgive that. You have to find it in your heart to have compassion and empathy on the reasons why things like that are being done. And that's a silly example, a small example of just the types of things that can hold us back. Hopefully, in our daily lives, we pray. And when we pray, we thank the Lord for everything that He's given to us. We thank the Lord for everything that He has done. And we ask for strength to live in His Word and to do the things He has commanded. And when we pray, as in the model prayer, it should be at the the front of our minds that when we ask for the forgiveness of our sins, we must also forgive those who sin against us, who do wrong to us, because if not, then our prayers will not be answered. The Bible tells us you will not be forgiven. Your Heavenly Father will not forgive your sins if you do not forgive the sins of your brother. And that's why forgiveness is something that is often overlooked. It's not necessarily, at least not in the front of my mind, on a daily basis. Like, who have I not forgiven today? Who am I holding a grudge against? Who do I think, you know, who do I think has wronged me? Who do I need to seek out and talk to try and resolve something so that we can come to a place where forgiveness can happen, to where grudge won't be in my heart, and that I can ask for forgiveness and be given forgiveness from my Lord in heaven? This sermon has not been about what it takes to be saved through our Lord Jesus Christ, the salvation that we're offered. But if anybody has a need, has heard the word of God and believes that Jesus is the Son of the living God and wants to confess that this morning and be baptized, we ask you to please come forward and do that so that you don't have to wait to be added to the Lord's church. And if anyone is a member of the church, is suffering and has a need, needs prayers, needs encouragement, needs strength, needs to get rid of something that's been haunting them, we're here to help. If you would please come forward as we stand and we sing this song of invitation. I am without one plea, but